Now, before we come to the preaching of God's word, let us seek the Lord's blessing. O Lord, our God, we recognize that we are a privileged people because we are in a safe place to hear thy word. And we think of those many of thy people who are scattered around the world and they do not have a place of worship that preaches the gospel. And many are under persecution. We remember them. But Lord, this adds to our responsibility. And so we pray that thou would speak to us and make us to be willing servants. And we ask that thou would speak clearly to our hearts and bring encouragement and instruction and conviction. We pray that in all things we might be built up and helped so that we might face the various trials and temptations that will come in our way in the coming days, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. Now please turn with me to that portion of God's word in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the earlier part of this chapter, the Apostle Paul reminds us that in the latter days, those days that we are now living in, the times between the first and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in those latter days, the church would struggle with false teaching, even in its very midst. And the Apostle Paul warns Timothy, this young pastor, about that and the effect that it could have, the bad effect, the harmful effect it could have on the life of this congregation and the life of the Christians who are to read this portion and who are affected by the same kind of things. Then later in verses 6 and 8, and that is what we want to think about this evening, the Apostle Paul turns his attention on Timothy as a minister, as a servant, as a pastor, as an elder. And even you will notice in the use of the pronouns that he uses that he has to say, and what he has to say is very much directed to Timothy, to his ministry, to his character, to things that he's to be on the lookout for. It is clearer in the Authorized Version, where it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. He's very specifically speaking to Timothy with those direct words. Now, this is for us too. This is for you too. If you are a Christian here this evening, as a Christian, you are not out of the scope of the Apostle Paul's focus here in God's Word, because all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our reproof and for our correction and for our training in righteousness. We are all called to be good soldiers and good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Servant, as you know, is a word that Christ applies to himself. And we have that in the scriptures, that he calls himself a minister, a servant. That's what the word minister means. In the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in Isaiah again and again of the servant of the Lord. That is the term that is used for the Messiah of Israel, who will come and who will be the Savior. And it is not surprising then that the apostles themselves often refer to themselves as the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, or servants of Christ Jesus. The word servant became a technical term for a particular office in the church. And we see that in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, the word servant is used regarding the deacons. They are to serve. It's used for those who minister this ministry of mercy to the local congregation. But also we know that in the New Testament, that word servant is a word which is applied to all of God's children. All those who are disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul uses an expression that is to do with a bond servant, a slave. We are called the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, now you serve Him. Before you served your master, the devil. But now we serve a wonderful Savior who gave Himself for us. And here the apostle speaks to Timothy as a preacher, as a pastor in the local church, as an apostolic helper to himself, and he instructs Timothy to how to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in his unique role, but then it has application to us as well. This is not just for preachers in general. It is for all of us. Because all of us, I trust, who are Christians, long to be good servants of the Lord Jesus. And you'll see here in this passage that the Apostle Paul tells us first what a good Christian servant is on the lookout for. The second thing that he will show you is that what a good Christian servant is nourished by. So what they look out for, what they are nourished by. And thirdly, what a good Christian servant avoids. And then fourthly, what a good servant of Christ strives for. And fifthly, what a good servant of Christ highly values. So those five things that we want to very briefly speak on from these verses. And it is to do with our discipleship. It is to do with our spiritual progress, this portion of God's word. And I would say that I would spend most of my time on the fourth and the fifth point, so don't be too worried. The first thing is this. From verse 6, the first part of verse 6, the apostle speaks of the watchman of the soul against false teaching. We see in verse 6, in the first part, it says that the good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ uncovers and he alerts his people to false teaching. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister or good servant of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. A good Christian servant, a good minister, is on the lookout for, like a watchman. Paul's message here in the very first words of verse 6 is to watch out. You must watch out for certain things. In the previous verses, he says, these are the things, the wrong theology, bad teaching. You watch out for bad theology. He's been saying this over and over again. You read through 1 Timothy, you'll find this out. And he's reminding Timothy that one of the marks of a faithful minister and one of the marks of a faithful Christian and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he not only faithfully teaches what the Bible is true and the teachings of the Word of God, he also warns the people. He lives and he warns fellow Christians too against that which is not in accord with the Bible. The good servant of Jesus Christ uncovers and he alerts the people of God to false teaching. And so he's on the lookout for bad theology. He teaches his people the difference between good and bad theology. He shows them to have discernment. We are living in such days and there's little discernment. People don't recognize the subtleties of false teachers. But there's a message for us here. There's a message for us in this. We are, all of us are to be on the lookout for bad theology. If we go wrong on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we go wrong on the Bible, it can be very detrimental to our soul. It can be very destructive to a church. We are to care for good, solid, faithful Bible preaching and teaching. At different times in our lives, changes take place. Maybe we need to move because of work, because of our circumstances. You'll have the responsibility then of finding a church. One of the things that you are to look for is to find a faithful church, a Bible teaching church, a Bible preaching church. And that's the first and foremost thing that you ought to do, to join a healthy local church life. And then to be committed to that, to throw your lot in that and to serve and work and labor. Not just to go whenever it suits you. Not just be involved whenever it suits you. I don't know who I am talking to. Are you committed to this local church? You know it is teaching the Bible. Are you committed to it? I can say these things. Maybe your pastor might have difficulty in speaking to you about these things. But do you serve in this place? Or are you merely a user? You are a user. Is that what is seen? Or people depend on you. They count on your attendance to the services on the Lord's Day, to the prayer meetings, to other activities, other forms of service. What are you doing with your life? I'm not making a judgment of anyone, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, what am I doing with my life in the things that truly matter? Am I really out and out for God and for Christ? Am I serving the Lord? In what way am I serving the Lord? Is it all vague? Is it just very general? So it's a challenge for us. When you know, here is a place where the Word of God is faithfully preached. You are a privileged people to have a faithful pastor who ministers God's Word here. And friends, another thing to say is that you can find many people who are faithfully expounding the Scripture, but you don't find many who will talk about the specific theology or doctrine of that Scripture and will not only teach you what's right, but also warn you against what's wrong. And that's what we find in much of evangelicalism today. Here the apostle says, remember, remind the people about what is wrong as well as what is right. Don't just be a positive teacher, but show what is poisoning the system of the soul. So one of the things that you're going to be looking for in a faithful teaching of God's Word is someone who does not only say what the Bible teaches, but also says what the Bible teaches against and helps you to become more discerning about the dazzling variety of the false teaching that is out there. That's what a faithful minister of God's Word does. And so a Christian is going to be on the lookout for not only for good, solid, faithful Bible teaching and preaching that identifies false teaching and helps the Christian discern the difference. Truth must be repeated, and that's what we have here. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Remind them. These things must be repeated again and again. We quickly forget what we hear. We quickly forget what we read. People often forget and become negligent and begin to be very subjective. They begin to think, well, they become affected by their family members, by their children, by their parents, by their other siblings. And they think, well, they have done this, and or the compromises that are made elsewhere, they excuse it away. And the more you excuse things away, then you put down your guards as well. We have to be faithful to the word of God. Now, we are not saying we shouldn't be loving. We are not saying that we should be negative and always looking out for faults. No, no. But we should be on our guards and be as strict as the Bible says, and also as loving and flexible as the Bible also is, and show grace. We were talking earlier on how blessed we have been by being raised in Christian homes, and those of you who have, and you've had a lot of solid teaching, I trust. But think about those who may come into your life, who may come into this place, and who have not had such teaching. What should you do in that situation? Should you criticize them? No. If they have not had those teaching, you have to be patient and show love and care and be gracious. My old pastor used to say, the doctrines of grace must make a man gracious. Are we gracious? Are we patient with people? Now, we must move on. The second thing is this, that I want you to notice. So I mentioned about being a watchman. The second thing is, again, from verse 6. Nourishing on sound teaching. This is another thing. To be making spiritual progress in our life, we must be nourishing ourselves on sound teaching. Again, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Here the Apostle Paul comments on that a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine, sound teaching. That's what he's feeding upon. And so the apostle is reminding Timothy that good pastors, good preachers, good ministers themselves are nourished on doctrine. It's not just that they're giving preaching sermons. They're not sermon factories. But they themselves are nourished up in the Word of God. And what a challenge it is for those of you who teach at Sunday school. Are you nourishing yourself up in the Word of God, in the teaching of God? Nourishing yourself on sound biblical teaching and theology. A young man, he wrote to me today, actually, this afternoon, sent me a message this afternoon, and with a link and to a website, and I wrote to him and said to him, be careful not to get distracted from the main things. Feed on good teaching. Feed on classic literatures that has blessed many, many Christians over many years. Not just in modern fads and new ideas. And trying to just look for controversy. Feed yourself in the Word of God and sound teaching. And if this is true of a preacher, of an elder, of a pastor, it is also true for the members of the church, for God's people in general. Are you feeding yourself on good things? Or are the things that you study, are they shallow things? Feed yourself on the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. If these things that the apostle says are true, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained, if this is true for shepherds of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is also true for the sheep. If that's true for preachers, it is true for those who sit before them and are listening to the preaching of God's word. So the apostle's message in verse 6 is for you to grow up on sound doctrine, be nourished by sound teaching, feed on Bible instruction and application. The good servant of Christ is nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. That's what we need. The only way we'll ever grow up in the faith is to be nourished on this sound Bible teaching. Then we are able to face the challenges of the Christian life because our minds have been transformed, being renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit who's given us this word, so that we no longer are conformed to the thinking of the world, but we've been renewing our minds. According to what? According to the word of God. And the way that happens is when we are nourished on sound teaching, sound doctrine, on the words of faith. And so the Apostle Paul tells us not only that we are to watch out for bad theology, for bad teaching, but we are to be growing up on good teaching. Don't be just negative, but replace those things on the positives. We were talking last night about what it means to be keeping the Lord's day. This whole day is holy unto God. How do we keep it? Especially with children. What do we say to children? Do we have a family who just concentrates on saying, no, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do this. It's all no and not. But what do you put in place? You can't have a vacuum there. You can't say, well, we don't do any of these things. Then we have kept the Lord's day. No. We need to positively be putting things in those areas where it glorifies God. It will be a blessed day that magnifies the Savior, builds us up. It's a happy day, a joyful day. And you have to think about that. What did the New Testament Christians do on the Lord's day? And we can do so much to be done. So what are we to do in being nourished up? Daily reading and meditation, the prayerful study of God's word, the biblical books, teaching the word of God, hearing and filling our minds with good teaching every day. How much time people spend on clicking from one YouTube clip to the next YouTube clip, and time goes, and then when it comes to just 20 minutes of reading of the word of God, they don't have the time to do it. It is a sad thing when you think about it. And then what is going through your eye gate and ear gate? Then no wonder we stumble and fall. No wonder we are feeling weak when we are feeding ourselves. I said to one young man last week, he gave me a sermon of the church he was attending. And this young man was saying, listen to this latest sermon of the pastor, and I have to say it all started with very light-hearted jokes and stories and telling the congregation right at the beginning, if you want to sleep just now, catch up on your sleeping, I would say to you to start right now, because my sermon is going to be long, and the sermon was only 28 minutes. It wasn't a long sermon, at least to my standard, but the man filled the whole message with all kinds of half-truths and jokes and so on. And I wrote to this young man and said, this is McDonald's diet. It keeps a person alive, but not healthy. They'll have problems later on. If you just feed yourself on McDonald's, and at least my children love McDonald's stuff, but it doesn't really fill you. It is not going to be healthy for you. You'll have various health problems later on, and so much of it like that. And so you have to watch over your soul. What kind of diet are you taking? I think it is a great miracle of God. If you attend this place and you're really engaging prayerfully with what you hear and applying it to your life and trying to meditate on these things through the week, how amazing it is that Christians are kept through their life on three, if you attend the three services in the week, 3 hours, let's say. Let's say every sermon is 1 hour long. 3 hours of the preaching of the Word of God per week. What a diet it is. And it keeps Christians going through life. And if you were to meditate upon it. So here is the Apostle Paul saying, be nourished up, Timothy. Be nourished up, Christians. Build yourself up in good things, Christians. And then thirdly, he says, speaks about having discernment about what is unprofitable. Remember what is unprofitable, Timothy. He says that in the first part of verse 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He says, but refuse or reject profane and old wives' fables or old wives' tales. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ realizes that false teaching is unprofitable. He's not making insults here. Timothy is not insulting the old sisters in the congregation, in the church, who are in Christ. He's actually taking a poke at the false teachers. He's saying, these men who say that they have a profound message, a better message for you than me, than the apostles, than you've heard before, these men, well, what they're teaching you is just old wives' tales. It's what the superstitious views and stories of old women who told stories without any spiritual or biblical basis. That's what it is. That's what Paul says in this passage. He's saying that false teaching is just like tales, the stories. It's empty. It's unprofitable. And because it's empty and unprofitable, it is harmful. It hurts people. Why is that? Because it can't build them up. It keeps them immature. Maybe the reason we are not making spiritual progress is because we are feeding on wrong things. We are feeding upon things that are not profitable. Maybe you would say, well, it's not sinful, but it's not profitable. It can't help them in Christian life. And so that is what Paul says. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. If truth is for life, if God's truth is for the living of the Christian life, if God's truth is to make us more like Him, more loving, more faithful, more obedient, then false teaching can't produce those things. It produces a fake mirage of it. And so the more we are preoccupied with something which is not the truth of God's Word, the less we are becoming like Jesus Christ. The less we are growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. False doctrine, false teaching contributes nothing constructive to the Christian life. And consequently, it is harmful. And so the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with these false teaching. And they are very deadly. They are like poisonous stories. And so for us, for those of us who are not preachers, but who are members of the church, Christians serving the Lord outside of the pulpit, as it were, ministering day to day, we need to be aware of false teaching, that it is unprofitable. We must avoid it. We must reject it, just like Timothy was to avoid it. What is filling your homes? What are you allowing your children to see and view and take in? And who is educating your children? Is the Word of God affecting them? Now, the fourth thing is this. That the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciple engages in spiritual discipline. The faithful servant engages in spiritual discipline. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ strives after this spiritual discipline with the goal of godliness in view. And that is what you find again in verse 7. In the latter part of it, the last clause, which says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Paul positively gives an imperative, a command, commanding word to Timothy. And he says the same thing to you and me. "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness." On the other hand, Timothy, discipline yourself, exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so the apostle is saying to Timothy that the good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ engages in a spiritual discipline with the goal of godliness in view. That's what I want to be. He is deliberately practicing and training with a view to the cultivation of spiritual worship in all of life. The Apostle Paul has been teaching about false teaching and false teachers who have been suggesting to people of God that godliness is gained through external manifestations, about keeping certain things and not eating certain foods and not marrying and all kinds of things, keeping external rites and rituals, going through certain formal motions. That's the way they were told that you will gain godliness. And Paul has said that that's not how you gain godliness, but he says this: you do need to discipline yourself. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You must discipline yourself. You do need the exercise and work to grow in grace with a goal to godliness. So he says in verse 7, he says, exercise. He says, work out. It's to do with activity. It's a sports language that he uses. And so you exercise for godliness, unto godliness. Deliberately practice and train with a view of cultivation of a spiritual worship. And we are to actively pursue, he's telling us. We are to actively cultivate godliness. It doesn't just fall into our lap. This is a danger, I think. As a pastor, I find at times that people think that because a person becomes a Christian and is saved, suddenly they know things. They know how to live and they know how to do, and they don't really need to be told these things. Well, we are not living in such a day and culture that the Bible is affecting our culture. And so new Christians need to be told the basics. They need to be discipled. And they need to themselves seek to grow. It's not going to happen automatically. And so the apostle says to us, discipline yourself so that you might live the Christian life. You see, discipline, exercise that the apostle is saying, doesn't make a Christian's life easy. But let me tell you this, it does make it easier. Doesn't make it easy, but it makes it easier. Without this exercise, without this training, the Christian life and the challenges that there are will not be won. It is hard, but when you are training toward responding for God's glory and for to be following Christ, that would make it easier. You're already expecting the challenges. You're already expecting the temptations. You're already expecting the difficulties ahead. And so when you face those things, you are not surprised by them. And that's what Paul is saying to us. Discipline doesn't make the Christian life, this exercise, this growing in the Christian life, doesn't make the Christian life easy, but it makes it easier. That Christian woman who is struggling with a husband who is not a Christian and who is unkind to her, she disciplines herself. She exercises herself to the purpose of godliness in prayer, in the Word, in meditation upon the Word of God, in attending to the means of grace. She's attending the place of worship, and she's taking in the Word of God, and she's digesting it and thinking upon it and praying over it and saying, Lord, speak to me and I will follow thee. And when she has prepared that dinner, and the husband comes, the unchristian husband comes home, and he's once again unkind. He's once again mean to her. It's not that it's easy for her to respond in a Christian way to him, but it's easier because she has been disciplining herself, training herself for the purpose of godliness. That's what we are talking about. That man who is wrestling against lust, against sexual sin, who's been trying to carefully guard what he looks at and what he reads and what company he's in and where he is and how he is and when he's alone, when he's away from home, when he's in that lonely place and temptation comes and he meets someone, a colleague at work. It's not very easy for him to keep himself or walk away pure, but it makes it easier because he's been praying and seeking God and saying, Lord, I find this is my weakness and I need thee, Lord. When he's been accountable to maybe one or two others, he's been under the means of grace and filling his heart and mind with thoughts of God and the word of God. He's been attending to the worship of the living God. He's been reading his Bible. He's been praying to God and serving the Lord and seeking his strength. He's been discipling or disciplining himself so that he could be godly when the challenges come. He's feeding upon the right things, the right kind of diet. He's training with the right tools. And that's how it is. Prayer, meditation, attendance upon the means of grace. These things, friends, prepare us for the living of the Christian life. These are the basic things. We've heard it many, many times before, and it's in these basic things that we fail. So we are to actively pursue and to cultivate godliness, the Apostle Paul says, and it doesn't come easily. There's nothing easy about the Christian life. When you become a Christian, you're invited into a fight, a battle. And preparing for that is not going to be easy. The fight is not going to be easy. The fight will be easier if you have disciplined yourself for the purpose of godliness. And then, finally, the man who has been seeking to grow and to make progress in the spiritual life, he seeks to be more like Jesus Christ. And that's what we find in verse 8, we read this, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Notice here that the Apostle Paul says that we are to prize godliness. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ realizes the value of becoming more like Christ. We are to esteem, we are to value, we are to hold dearly, to think highly of and much of, and to treasure godliness. When we talk about godliness, it is Christ-likeness. And so he says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit, but it is little profit. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't exercise and you shouldn't keep the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is no excuse if we are damaging this temple of the Holy Spirit. But, he says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And the apostle is saying to you and to me, you ought to want godliness more than perfect health. You're living in a day that you have all sorts of diets that tell you that you're going to be healthy. If you follow this diet, you'll be healthy. If you do this kind of an exercise, you will be healthy. And there's nothing wrong with seeking to be healthy. But the apostle says you should desire godliness more than a perfect health. This body of ours will be put down one day. And like a tabernacle that is brought down, it will come down one day. You ought want to have godliness more than a perfect body. You know, those are there in the gym and on a field of training doing their laps, and they're there early in the morning. They're there after work doing their treadmill, going there, running around. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's profit in it for all our health. All of us ought to be taking care of our bodies, not abusing it by laziness and overindulgence and lack of movement. And we sin if we do not keep our bodies. But we also sin if we get our priorities wrong. And if we put our exercise and material things, earthly things, and our enjoyments first. And friends, it is very difficult in this day and age that we live in. All of us are so rich and so blessed with things. None of us lack anything, do we? And because the very fact that we have food on our tables, that shows we are richer than most people in this world. When was the last time you didn't have money to pay for your meal? When was it? That shows, and I presume none of us have been hungry because of lack of food. Maybe it was because of lack of laziness. I remember in my student days, and unless my wife cooked a meal, I would be going hungry. But that was laziness. It wasn't because we didn't have money. But what about this issue of spiritual exercise and feeding? And so this is what the apostle is saying. He's saying, as important as it is to do that, remember that your spiritual discipline, your spiritual exercise, your spiritual workout makes a difference in this life. In the life that now is, and the life to come, he says. Now friends, we can only be godly by grace. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit in us to grow in grace. But the Apostle Paul makes it clear, and the Word of God here makes it clear, that growing in the Christian life is something that is both passive and active. It's something that is done to us and also something that we do. It's something that is both dependent upon God, and it is also something to which we must consecrate ourselves. And that's what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are called to be his workmanship. You see both sides of it. God's at work in us to grow us in grace, but we must work out that sanctification in fear and trembling. And so the Lord here is calling us, and he wants us to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, not so that we might be more clever, we might be able to win more debates and discussions, and no, because we want to be more like the Lord Jesus. We want to be close to him. We want to serve him. We want his smile in our lives. So in these words, the Apostle Paul is urging Timothy and says, Timothy, what God wants you is to make progress, to be a faithful disciple, to be going forward in your spiritual life as a minister. And he says to us, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the challenge is, are we making progress in our life? Well, may God grant by his grace that we would commit ourselves to this kind of discipleship. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks that thy word comes to us with instruction and blessing, with it brings conviction to us. We thank thee that it is a guide, a light and a lamp. And we pray, therefore, as thou hast lit our path and as thou hast brought truth to our minds, thou wouldst give us the grace to take steps forward. Lord, we seek a balanced diet for our souls, and we thank thee that that is found in thy word. Help thy servants here to continue on and to recognize the privileged place they are, even in this chapel. We ask for thy blessing then, and we pray these things for thy glory's sake and the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.